welcome into this playoff edition of Shark and the Dog. I hope you all enjoyed the documentary recap series that we did on the Dynasty for the Patriots a couple of weeks ago. But it is time to get down to brass tacks. It is playoff time in the great city of Boston. And we know our matchup for the Bruins facing off against the Toronto Maple Leafs on Saturday night at 8 in Game 1 at the Garden. By the end of this episode, we will have a decent idea of who our first round opponent for the Celtics will be. Right now, the Sixers have a lead on the Heat late in the fourth quarter. We'll know at least who that Friday night matchup will be out of the remaining teams there. So we will get into all of that on tonight's show, starting with the B's, going into the C's. But first, to my right is the Shark himself, Mr. Dave Nardella. Dave, how are you?
I'm great, John. It's the best time of the year. Finally made it.
Exactly. And out in the great state of California is Mr. Matthew Kovach with us. Matt, how are you?
Scared that I'll be hating Linus Allmark with vitriol passion 1 week from now.
And in the Granite State, back with us, after missing out on the docuseries recap, is the dog father himself, Mr. Paul Murphy. Paul, how are you?
Very good, John. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm your host, John Murphy. Let's get right into it. Dave, Boston Bruins, as of 4 days ago, not only did they have a chance at winning the Atlantic Division, if they win those two games, they win the President's Trophy for the second time in 2 years. You can get into the whole curse element of the President's Trophy, but the fact that they last year pulled off the best season in regular season in hockey history, come back, almost have a chance to win the President's Trophy again, and are 2-3 goals away from doing it. Pretty impressive. Did it work out for the better with the way this matchup shaked out? Because if you win even one of those games, you get the Tampa Bay Lightning, who since 2011 has had your number in the playoffs. Instead, you get the Toronto Maple Leafs, who since 2013, you've had their number in the playoffs, but it's one of those does every dog have its day type of things. They break the curse last year, winning a first round matchup against the Lightning. So a lot at play here. What are your thoughts on the matchup and how we entered the postseason, Dave?
I go back and forth on, you know, which one's better. You know, Tampa has got similar star power with Kucherov, who, you know, quietly got 100 assists this year, which is, you know, the first time, and he and McDavid did it this year. It's the first time since, I think, Lemieux. We'll have to fact check that, which is insane in this era of bigger pads and you know, much better players overall. But the thing is that I keep going back to is, you know, the Maple Leafs, yeah, they won that series last year, but I still think the Bruins, you know, we saw them this season against them. They really got their number. I think with the Lightning, Vasilevsky can get hot, and that's the X factor between the two teams when you're looking at it. I mean, you look at the Maple Leafs, their last five games this year where it mattered for them. Their goaltending was not good at all, and, you know, they were kind of relying on their top dogs and got beat up a little bit by the Panthers and forget the other teams they played, but they really got beat up and their goaltending struggled. So you're kind of hoping that's the case against the Bruins too, especially, you know, you get those first two games at home. I think they're a little fragile mentally, and you can kind of get after them, but it's going to be an interesting matchup, and I know we'll get into the brass tacks of it.
Absolutely. Paul, I know you have some opinions on the matchup. You didn't get a chance to watch a lot of Bruins hockey this season because of the Nesson disagreement with the YouTube TV universe. But what are your thoughts going into the postseason, particularly the matchup?
Well, if you take anything off last night, you know, Toronto's up 2-0, and then in the second period they get outshot 31-4 against Florida. So that they didn't have what was necessary, and then you told me today, John, that you felt the Bruins tried to score and they couldn't score. So they get away from Tampa Bay. I think that's a fortunate break for them. It wasn't intentional, but it's going to work in their favor. Toronto is a much better matchup. I know they have Matthews, they have all these scorers, but they have a bigger, more physical team, and I think the Bruins can match them. I think it'll be a long series. I don't think the Bruins could have beaten Tampa Bay. I don't know why I don't think that, but I just don't think they would have gotten it done.
I don't think you're that far off. I like the fact that we're avoiding Tampa Bay. I wouldn't be shocked if there's a world in which the Bruins win the first round against the Leafs and the Lightning win that first round down in Florida against the Panthers, and you get them in the second round. Is that how it works, Dave, before it gets to the conference finals? So I think that could end up happening. And if we could go into a second round against a team like Tampa confidently, which we're going to have some similar opinions about the Celtics as well, I think that would be ideal. Cove, thoughts on the postseason?
Well, this is what I get scared about. Let's say you and Dave are down, you know, at a rink somewhere, and all the Bruins and all the Maple Leafs players are there, and you guys are choosing up sides to play a scratch game. Who's the first? So whoever has the first pick takes Austin Matthews. Then whoever has the second pick, who do they take, Pasternak? Then the third pick is Mitch Marner. Fourth pick would be Tavares. You don't have many of the best players in this series, and that's a scary thing. Let me ask you this: their three best players, no particular order: Matthews, Marner, and Tavares. Who are your three best players? No matter who you name, I like the three best players on Toronto.
And you'd have a tough time fighting over who your second and third best players are.
To say this real quickly about Tampa, I mean, Tampa beat the Bruins last year when nobody beat the Bruins, and I don't care, you know, what the logistics are on it. Tampa owns the Boston Bruins. They do, and they have for years. That's a team that you want absolutely no part of, just like, you know, you absolutely want no part of the Miami Heat. I don't care what incarnation they're in or who they lost or who they don't have. I believe in this stuff, and you certainly want no part of that. But the other thing, though, like I said, when you're looking at if you're looking at Toronto, yes, you know, maybe you thought that Tampa would have been a better matchup if you're looking at the players and stuff like that. And then you think, gosh, you played so well against Toronto over the last 11 years, dating back to the miracle 11 years ago. I don't like the matchup for the Bruins. And I'm not saying that, by the way, because I don't like the way they played over the last handful of games either. I am firm in the camp of you don't need to win the President's Trophy to win the Stanley Cup. Besides, it doesn't, you know, it really doesn't correlate anyways.
Yep. Dave, 8 o'clock Saturday night, who's your game one starter in net?
Jeremy Swayman. The reason for that is because he was excellent against the Maple Leafs this year. And I think he got to go against with that statistic just because, you know, I know he's been struggling, you know, since the All-Star break, but he's your guy in game one. I mean, we've seen Allmark in the playoffs. I get maybe he was a little banged up last year, but in terms of matchups, it seems like Swayman just has it against the Maple Leafs. So I think you have to go with him. I'm curious to see, you know, that there's post-game interview last night, you know, with Montgomery, and someone asked him, said, you know, who's your game one starter? He says, I don't know. And that makes me think that he truly doesn't know, but I think they're going to sit down with the brass tacks of the Bruins, and it's going to be Swayman game one at home, and they're going to ride the momentum of, you know, the crowd and the playoff energy, and I think Swayman's going to be your guy in game one, which I you know, is probably a hot take, but I think you got to go with him.
One sec, Cove. 6 days ago, Cove, you're on mute. 6 days ago, you lose that game to Carolina 4-1. You get smoked. Swayman's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
You're ahead in the Atlantic Division, and you are 90% chance you're getting lined up with Tampa Bay in the postseason. In round one. Now, fast forward a week, you're getting matched up with the Maple Leafs. The stats you just read off of the way Swayman has played against the Leafs. Dave, you throw that with his performance from last night, where he absolutely stood on his head.
Yep.
I think giving him the game one start is the way to go, as much as I would have 7 days ago given Allmark the start. There's really nothing wrong with you lighting another fire under Allmark because it's worked so well in the last 45 days.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right, John. I mean, it's clear that Allmark works better with no pressure. You know, he's a good guy that you can call on if you need him. And I think last year, I think the pressure just got to him. They didn't realize how tough Florida was going to be. And I think you could experience that in the first couple games. You know, Toronto could steal one. They could take two right away. And then you're going to need Allmark, who can come in and, you know, he's a great goalie in his own right. So I think either way, you have this is a good tough decision for Montgomery and whoever else Cam Neely makes the decision. But I think you got to go Swayman game one, just based off of his career against the Maple Leafs.
I like it. Cove, what were you going to say about the goaltending?
I was just going to say this. I was going to say how if Swayman spits the bid on Saturday night, how fast do you go to Linus? The other guy that you need to take a look at in this series is old friend Tyler Bertuzzi. He's been red hot, and that was absolutely somebody I wanted to see the Bruins bring back. And when they lost him to Toronto, it was heartbreaking. You got to look out. There's some tiered guys. I mean, who else does Toronto have? Max Domi. This is a very, very, very dangerous team. And it's not the Phil Kessel soft serve Maple Leafs of the past. I mean, this is a very, very, very dangerous team. And if you were in Las Vegas and you were betting the series and you weren't looking through, you know, spoked V glasses, you may have to bet Toronto.
One thing I will say is that in our last 2 months, we've gotten a lot of points, a lot of which have come from overtime losses. But some of our best games have come in the last 2 months, one of which was an absolute beatdown of the Toronto Maple Leafs at home, 4-1. And wire to wire, both teams absolutely hated each other, and you big brothered them. And Reeves, Bertuzzi, Domi, those guys couldn't slow you down. And it looked like an old school 2011-2012 Bruins game. Mm-hmm. And so I will say, if you're just going off of what has happened recently and the way we've matched up against this team, I think we can match their physicality or beat it. Other teams were going to struggle against because that's what we, you know, signed Lucic for,
right?
Was for when we go up against stronger teams. And, you know, we'll touch on Maroon in a little bit as well. Paul, one thing here, you can touch on the goaltender if you want, but where are we going to get our scoring?
Marchand and Pastrnak. And Coyle has had an excellent year. So, yeah, John, I don't think the issue will be with the scoring. It'll be holding the Leafs in check.
Thoughts on goaltending?
I go with Allmark.
Wow. I like it.
Dave, do you concur with some of our best games have been in the last 2 months? Do you think about, I loved Saturday's game against the Penguins. I loved that game against Nashville 2 weeks ago. What we did to Carolina, not last Thursday night, but two and a half weeks ago. The one I just listed off against the Maple Leafs. I feel like we've had some pretty awesome games that are things that we can take into the postseason. And I really don't fault them for the last couple of games as we get ready. They've kind of had things locked up. And I don't know if they're savvy enough to have doctored those last two games to get the matchup they think they may want. I'm not that big of a conspiracy theorist, but I'm a little high on them going into the postseason. Overall thoughts?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's totally different than last year where you had the best team, you know, you had the best team of all time statistically. You had that pressure riding on you.
Also, no one believes in them.
No. And that's part of that is because you don't have David Krejci and Patrice Bergeron, who were, you know, cornerstones of the franchise, who, if you think about it, actually this year, Charlie Coyle and Zacha took over their spots and got the same amount of points that they did last year. So there was really no difference there, no slowdown in terms of that position. And you saw other guys step up. Obviously, you would have loved to see Lucic in the series. Not going to happen. but you got Maroon, a guy that can fill in, has that playoff experience, three Stanley Cups, a guy that's, you know, that's won recently, that's good to have in your locker room. And it's an opportunity for a lot of the young guys to get their shot. I mean, Trent Frederick's had a great season. It's a chance for Charlie Coyle to really step into the spotlight, who's, you know, a lot of people in the league think he's one of the more underrated players in the entire NHL.
There's one guy, Dave, who's the key to the series, and it's number 74. It's Jake DeBrusk.
Yeah, if he can get going. I mean, he was a Maple Leafs killer, you know, we saw recently against – in that last series against the Maple Leafs. If he can get going, he's been in a slump, but I think the playoffs is the perfect time for him, you know, to catch fire. And one other thing.
That you got 6 to 7 games. You got to give us 4 goals. That's all. That's what we're asking. You had a shit season. 4 goals, Jake.
I think that could happen. That happens with a lot of guys on good playoff teams where they kind of waltz through the regular season. I'm thinking of, you know, Connolly with the Washington Capitals. They're guys every year on teams that kind of waltz through the regular season and fire up. But I think the key in this series, and we'll see, he will be, if the Bruins go far, he will be a big reason, is Charlie McAvoy. He will outshine Morgan Rielly and that whole Maple Leafs defense just from how many minutes he eats up. Penalty kill, power play, he's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see. I'm pretty sure he's going to shine in this opening round. I can't wait.
Love it, Cove. Where are you getting your scoring? Who are the guys we need to be leaning on in this series?
Oh, you know, in addition to hating Linus Ullmark, possibly even Jeremy Swayman a week from now, you're probably going to hate David Pastrnak, and people are going to write off Brad Marchand as well. So you're going to really need... You're going to need a Van Riemsdyk goal. You're going to need a Shattenkirk goal. You're going to need a Danton Heinen goal, Trent Frederick, Pavel Zacha. You're going to need those guys to score. I wouldn't trust Hampus Lindholm to protect my car, let alone the blue line in the playoffs. But so, and I mean, he's been just such a disappointment because I was so high on Hampus when they traded for him a couple of years ago, just from watching him out here. And he's just been very, left a lot to be desired. So, I mean, he can score, though. He's a scoring defenseman by trade. So you're going to need those sprinkle-in goals there. You're going to need the, you know, I always say the 80s was the greatest decade of music of all time. You're going to need a Betty Davis Owls kind of thing. That's what you're going to need. You know, you're going to need some massive one-hit wonder shots that come out of nowhere, because you know you're going to get into a game where you do hold them down, but just because it's, you know, no pun intended, Murphy's Law, you're going to get into a situation where you're going to have to win a 2-1 or 3-2 game against these guys. You're going to be so frustrated that you baffled all their scorers, but you're still in a tight game. So that's where your, like I said, a Danton Heinen, Trent Frederick goal is going to come. And where I was so critical of the Bruins for not retaining a guy like Bertuzzi, I've loved all of the small Don Sweeney signings this year. I think that they've been, you know, really the backbone of the club. So I think that's where your extra scoring is going to come from. And I don't know, maybe somebody like Kevin Shattenkirk is like Jimmy Connors at the U.S. Open 30 years ago or something like that. They have a revival run.
I wouldn't be shocked. And that goal Saturday night was awesome by Shattenkirk. So that is a good example. Paul, is there anyone we're forgetting? The Pat Maroons? Is there anyone that you see stepping up for this team that we're not mentioning?
Before we get to Matt Grizzlick, who I think will have a good series, I don't want him benched this year. He was top plus minus for the year last year, and they had him on the pine. I think Kim Carnes had 2 hits, John. So maybe whoever Matt's talking about can get 2 goals instead of just the one that he's looking for.
I like it.
You know, John, I'm going with Grizzlick.
That's a good one.
He has a chance of staying if he does well. And so that's his opportunity. That's who I'm going with.
I know they're in a position where no one really believes in them. It is a tough opponent. Dave, they're playing a 70-goal scorer.
Yeah.
And Austin Matthews, the one of the best guys in hockey right now. So it's not a fantastic matchup. If we're just going off of history, yeah, it's a great one. But this is a new team. They broke their curse last year. It's going to be tough. And I just hope that this team has such a chip on its shoulder that they rise to the occasion. And just everyone forgives them for last year. That would be ideal. Anything else on the Bees?
I mean, one guy we completely forgot to mention who I would argue is way, way better than John Tavares is William Nylander. Mm-hmm. He's had an unbelievable year. He's an all-star. He's a guy they locked up for, you know, more than what Pasternak's making. There's a reason for that, and he's going to be a problem as well. He's a very similar player to Pasternak, but and he's going to make some plays that when Pasternak does well, you're going to be like, oh, that's very similar to what we have. And so they really, I mean, Marner, Matthews, Nylander is a real problem. Morgan Riley's one of the more underrated defensemen in the league. It really comes down to goaltending for them, which hasn't been good. And if you can crack them on Saturday night, that's a great start, and that's what I hope can happen.
I like it. It's a good preview. I mean, the series right now is 0-0. This isn't our bread and butter. Our bread and butter is overreacting to a game one loss.
Yeah.
So that we will see what happens this weekend. It's going to be an unbelievable sports weekend because you've got Maple Leafs, Bruins at the Garden, 8 o'clock Saturday night, and then Sunday, 1 p.m. You have the Boston Celtics facing Dave. Perfect timing on the way this game has ended. The Philadelphia 76ers just clinched the seventh seed. They are going to be going to New York on Saturday and playing the Knicks. That means that if you're a betting man, it is Celtics Heat in the first round, one seed versus eight seed.
Same guys.
The only, you can stay up later tonight if you want to watch Hawks Bulls and see if one of those teams has a chance to beat the Heat. But right now, it's likely looking like the team that knocked you out in Game 7 in your building is now coming back into your building Sunday 1 o'clock, which is going to be insane, and it's not ideal for this team.
Nope.
Probably of the other seven teams that you could play, they're very high on the list of teams, you know, right there, probably next to the Knicks of teams you'd want to avoid in the first round. And guess what? You go 64-18 and you face the Miami Heat in the first round, who plays their best basketball this time of year. Dave, thoughts going into this series? I've got my own monologue, which I won't bore people with to start. I will wait for you guys to all go, and then I will touch on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's a tough situation given, you know, you had a great year. You saw, I mean, this is a super team compared to the Celtics last year with Porzingis and Holiday. But, you know, Robert Williams was great. But, I mean, you got a huge upgrade with Porzingis. This team is due for a title. It's going to be, you know, who can close out these games, which has been a major issue in their, you know, in their 18 losses this year. It's been problems. We ran through the list before the episode, and it's all these games that there were that was close. It was a Tatum dribble out, fadeaway shot, miss, loss, and this Heat team is not going to let you blow them out like you did with all the other wins that you had. It's going to be a real struggle, and we saw it with this game where they only lost by one, and they were clawing till the final minute when they were down, or final seconds when they were down 4 points with 7 seconds to go, and they almost tied it up. Mm-hmm. So, in this team, I mean, it's very similar to last year's team. They added Hawkes, who was great tonight. It's
Bruins Panthers last year, Dave.
It's gonna be really tough, and you hope that your stars Tatum and Brown make that step this year where they're lethal. They step on the throat. They're the big dogs now. They're the veterans. They should do it. They have the team to do it. There's no excuse. Absolutely no excuse this year to not go to the NBA Finals.
The fact that you have health right now, you're right. Absolutely no excuse. Paul, thoughts on the Seas?
I love the matchup. If you're going to get anywhere, you're going to dance around and just play the Bulls and the Hawks and get to the finals against the Nuggets. You got to go right after. I'm glad the Heat lost. And I'm ready for them. If the Celtics are going to go anywhere, now's the time to get it started. And Dave, the Heat are missing Vincent and Struss from last year. That's huge.
Right.
Those guys killed them. They hit threes. They play defense. Jacquez is very good from UCLA. Very good young player, but they'll slow him down. And just as I heard today on the radio, they, you know, the Celtics, many people have them to do it. And now it's time for Tatum and Brown to show up. It really is.
Not just for those guys to show up, it's time for Mazzulla to show up. You go back, Brad was an amazing coach, but he was coaching misfits. He wasn't, for the longest time, you know, he only had a short window with that amount of talent, with Kyrie and Gordon and the two young guys and Al. So he didn't get to experience it the way Udoka and Mazzulla have. I look at Udoka, I look at Rivers, I look at those are two coaches that veterans and rookies could respect and fear. I think with Mazzulla, my fear with him is that he's someone who could get walked over and is just a stat nerd who doesn't have the stones to tell Jason, ball's not going to you. It's just not happening. We got 30 seconds left. We're down one. Ball's going to Derek White in the corner or something like that. I think he's going to let Tatum dribble that thing out and you lose a playoff game because he doesn't have the balls to do it. It may cost him his job with a 64-18 win team. Cove, thoughts on the C's?
Oh, my God, John. Now you're going to have to start making you talk about assistant coaches in the NBA doing eyeglasswear commercials and how that makes the head coach feel that he's not getting asked to do endorsements. So I remember Theo Epstein after the Red Sox got down, 3-0, he went to a buddy's apartment and then they watched the Aaron Boone game. Epstein said he'd never seen it. And he and a bunch of the other guys in baseball ops said they needed a cleanse of the Aaron Boone game. I think that you play the Heat in the first round. I think you beat them in six. And I think it's a cleanse. And I think that you are emboldened by beating them as you go on and, you know, make a run to, you know, obviously, hopefully, the NBA Finals. So I like Celts in six. I think it's going to be a grind. I think you're going to grow a lot in the series. The team is going to learn a lot about one another. And the one thing I would caution some listeners, the Celtics in 2008, when they had one of the best teams in franchise history, one of the best teams in league history, they were never tested during the regular season.
Yep.
And that was crazy because they had a brand new, they literally had a brand new team. I mean, they turned over the entire roster outside of a couple guys. And then when they got into those first two rounds against Atlanta and against Cleveland, they struggled. But then as they continued on and played the, you know, the standard setting team in the conference at that time, Detroit, and then certainly the Lakers in the finals, they got better. I think there is going to be something of a playoff chemistry issue to work through, and that's going to be difficult when you're playing a team like Miami who knows you glass backwards with still one of the two or three best basketball coaches walking the planet. So some of that, okay, hey, we're in a half court set, we're in the toughest game, you know, we're seeing tough defenses, things like that. We have to run our offense, et cetera. There's going to be some chemistry issues that are going to have to be worked out because you had so many Porzingis missed games. They didn't push him at all this year and things like that. There was a lot more, quote, load management with guys and stuff like that. So that's going to be interesting. And then the other guy who's going to be your playoff X factor is Peyton Pritchard because, I mean, he lobbied for a trade last year. Who knows what happens to his career if he does get dealt. And he's just been unbelievable this year. He's been one of my favorite guys to watch on the team. And his evolution is going to be key. You're going to need Peyton Pritchard at some point when somebody turns an ankle and has to miss a couple games or gets cold or something like that, foul trouble. He's going to win or lose at least one or two games.
I like it. Part of my monologue is one of these guys is going to get hurt at some point, and that should not mean the series or the season is over. You are so good and so deep, you could handpick anyone on this roster, and you still have a chance to win in the NBA Finals. If Jason Tatum goes down, you still have Jaylen Brown, Kristaps Porzingis, Derek White, Drew Holiday, Peyton Pritchard, Al Horford. You have plenty of guys. So that excuse is out the window. Last year makes total sense. Not a cohesive enough team. You are so deep that don't give me any excuses that one guy is the reason why you lost to the 8 seed Heat, yeah, or anything ridiculous like that. Dave, here's my monologue. Celtics 64-18. Very impressive. Of those 18 losses, how many of them would you say were infuriating?
At least 16 of them.
We're going to list them all off. All 18. There's not a program out there that is going to give you this. All right. First loss of the season. Lose by 5 in overtime to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Lose by 3 to the Philadelphia 76ers the next night. Terrible. Lose in overtime to one of the worst teams in the NBA, the Charlotte Hornets.
Brutal.
Lose by 10 in the play-in tournament to the Orlando Magic. Awful. Once you actually get into the playoffs, you have to beat the Raptors by 35 to make the next round. You lose by 10 in Indiana in the play-in tournament.
Also awful.
Lose by 6 in overtime to the Golden State Warriors.
Awful.
Lead. Awful. Lose by 4 to the Oklahoma City Thunder in Oklahoma City. Really bad. Lose by 2 at home to the Indiana Pacers.
Bad.
Really bad. Lose by 33 to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Awful.
Lose by 2 at home to the Denver Nuggets.
Awful.
Tatum dribbling the ball out and putting up a brick to end the game. Lose by
loss of the season.
Lose by 19 to the Clippers when you were down by 45 at one point. Probably the worst loss.
Yeah.
Second worst loss of the season. We're going to get into the worst loss.
Cleveland's fine.
Lose at home to the LeBron-less Lakers by 9.
Also bad.
Really bad.
National TV.
Your next loss, which is our favorite, worst loss of the season. You have a 23-point lead in the fourth quarter, and you cough it up and lose 105-104 to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yep, awful, because Porzingis got you a one-point lead, and then Tatum dribbled it out once they scored.
Absolutely. You come out the next night. Tatum has another bad performance. You have a chance to tie the game, or was it take the lead with a corner three that Jaylen had 40-plus points and set you up. You lose by 6 to Denver. Another one of our favorites. This is a great one. This is one of our greatest hits. Lose 120-118 to the Atlanta Hawks in Atlanta with a 26-plus point lead in the second half. Really bad. Next night, you start all your players. You come out firing. Tatum dribbles the ball out with a tie, and you lose in overtime, 123-122. Last two, we'll chalk up to not infuriating because you've already locked up the one seed. You lose by a million to Milwaukee. You're down by 40 to the Knicks. We'll let those two, even though you played all your starters in both of those games, we'll sweep those under the rug, and we'll call it 15-16 of your 18 losses were absolutely infuriating, many of which were winnable games, and it highlights a lot of our issues with this team. Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, no, the big issues is when it comes to crunch time.
Sorry, 1 second. 2-4 in overtime games. We'll give you credit. You beat the Timberwolves at home in overtime. One of the best wins of the season.
Yeah.
Top three win. One of the other wins is against the Detroit Pistons because you're about to lose at home to the worst team in basketball.
Yeah. So the crunch time issue is huge, and I told John this before. I mean, you talk about good coach. Eric Spoelstra is a hell of a coach, and he's really going to put Joe Mazzulla up for his money because, I mean, like you said, John, you can't just give it to Tatum and let him dilly-dally at the three-point line. He's not Paul Pierce where he can make those shots, unfortunately. You need
he's not even 40-year-old Paul Pierce.
You need someone else, and to be honest, the guys that have gotten you back in those games that you lost, it was Derek White and Kristaps Porzingis, and I think those two guys, and it could be Jaylen Brown too, as long as he can get to the basket. But I just do not trust Tatum in these situations, which is crazy because people think he is probably one of the best players in the NBA. And he can't close. And that's just kind of who he is right now in his career. Maybe this playoffs is where he can turn that around, but you need someone else to close. And I do not think it's Jason Tatum. I think it's got to be Porzingis, Brown, or Derek White. And I don't even trust Drew Holiday either, but it's got to be one of those three guys.
Well said, Dave. Matt, would you say it's petty for a team that goes 64-18 to pull out every single loss and nitpick every single one?
No, I don't. And I think it's, you know, really should end any sort of discussion about the comparison between this team and the 2008 Celtics. Again, go back and do the rundown of the 2008 Celtics losses. The team got blown out one time the entire year where you said, wow, they got it handed to them on a platter. And that was the third game in the second round against Cleveland. That's the only time they got blown out the entire year. Third or fourth game, I want to say, because they played the first two games in Boston, they won. So either one of those two games, three or four, in the second round of the playoffs was the only time they had their lunch handed to them the entire season. So no, all those losses are really relative. And this is not the Golden State Warriors or even the Denver Nuggets who can say, all right, you know, listen, we're just going to snooze on certain teams. I think, and again, not just because I watched it out here, but that Lakers loss was just so apathetic. I hated everything about that game. I hated everything about it. I hate the fact that LeBron didn't play in the game, and it was such a disrespect to the Celtics-Lakers rivalry. I mean, how many Celtics-Lakers games is LeBron going to play in Boston as a member of the Lakers? Just such a cheese ball. And then just the way your effort just looks so flat in the whole game. Cleveland has played well against the Celtics the last couple of years, including dating back to last year, where I think they had a winning record against Boston. So the Lakers game was ridiculously bad. And then the Denver loss at home, because they are still the champions until somebody beats them. And I don't think you match up very well with Denver at all. And I am entering the postseason bleeding green, but also extremely terrified. I'm terrified of the first round, even though I said you're going to win in six. And, you know, just very, very, very scary, because you heard it here first. This team reminds me, I said that I compare our winter teams to baseball teams. I said last year's Bruins were like the 2001 Mariners that felt so good during the regular season that you got them in the playoffs. You're like, the Yankees are much better. Of course they're going to beat them. This Celtics team feels like the 2007 Cleveland Indians, who were the second best team in baseball, had the top two guys in the Cy Young voting, and the Red Sox beat them. Just, you know, with Curt Schilling throwing a high school fastball and J.D. Drew hitting a grand slam.
Yeah, they got hit
by a wild game seven at Fenway that year. So it's a little what this Celtics team feels like.
It's well said. I mean, that team.
And by the way, I'm sorry. The reason I compared them to the 2007 Indians, who were loaded, is because their closer was Joe Borowski. The Red Sox closer was Jonathan Papelbon. That's why the Red Sox won in seven.
All set?
All set, John.
All right, good. Paul, listening to that list of 18 losses, do any stick out to you?
Yeah, the Laker one was, well, the Clip. I couldn't believe when I happened to have the Clipper game on, and you're right, they were losing by like 45. It ended at 19. You know, that was a horrific loss. Didn't they lose to the Atlanta? Was a bad loss, right? But you and Dave mentioned, I think I counted five times that you guys just mentioned about Tatum dribbling the ball out at the end. It was like a common theme that you guys just had. So the Celtics haven't won anything. They've won nothing. So it really falls on him. We can talk all we want about Derek White and Holiday and Porzingis, but it really comes down to Jason Tatum. If he gets it done, they win the title. If he doesn't, it'd be just like last year. And one other thing, Matt, you mentioned about the 2001 Seattle Mariners. They faced a team that had two major league cheaters, including Roger Clemens, who won two games in that series when he threw a two-hitter, and he was so McCready. He was with McCready at the time, the girl. You can give the Yankees the title, but they cheated. That's where I'm going to put it on that.
Yeah, I mean, that was Falco Roger at his apex there, for sure.
Yes.
It was good baseball, though. I miss it. Dave.
Yeah.
Wild question, but whose team is it? If we're up to you right now going into the postseason, this is the leader of your team.
It's Tatum's team, and I know we just dogged him, but there's a reason why he's looked at by his peers as probably the best player in the NBA. And I hate to say that, because when crunch time comes, he kind of crumbles. But I think this team is just going to be so powerful, and I know we're playing the Heat in the first round. he's going to play great. He's going to have games where he's going to get 40 like he did against, you know, the Bucks in years past. And I think it's his team. It's his team. I know people are going to argue that it's Brown's team, but it's Jason Tatum's team.
You know, 2 years ago, the postseason starts are facing the Nets, and that when we got hit with that matchup, we were the one seed.
Yeah.
So we're the one seed. We get matched up with the 8 seed, Hardenless, KD and Kyrie Nets, and we're like, couldn't have been a worse matchup. Just I think pre-playing, maybe, and just the team that knocked you out of the playoffs the year before, and just two all-stars that had, you know, lost a bunch of games due to injury, and were coming into the playoffs and had your number, mm-hmm. up to that point. And game one, you're choking in the fourth quarter, and you find a way to come back, and Tatum hits a miracle Mother's Day layup to win that game, and that starts you off in the postseason. Let's say you get matched up with the Heat in the first two games. You beat them by 10 in game one. Game two is going to be as tight as possible, and it's going to come down to the end, and you don't want to go back down to Miami split in that series. Find a way to get some of that magic started right at the start of the postseason. Create an identity, whether it's Tatum hitting a shot and getting off on the right foot, but they've got to find a way. They are two buzzer beaters away from being champions, but they can't do it as of right now, with the way they run things. So, Cove, what are your thoughts going into, we're just going to predict it here, Miami series?
Celtics in six, and I think one of the biggest things that people who watch maybe our winter teams, and specifically the Celtics seasonally, are going to be impressed about, they're going to see a much more well-rounded, refined Jaylen Brown this year. I thought that Jaylen had a big growth year kind of quietly. Yep. And I think that that's one of the big things that people are going to see. Never forget, when Jaylen Brown was drafted, he was as raw as any guy coming into the league outside of like Shaq-type raw. I mean, that raw. And, I mean, to watch him grow, I think that's one of the big things that people are going to take away. So Celtics in six. And get ready for a Jaylen, and get ready to be impressed by Jaylen Brown.
I like it. So we're seeing Jaylen Brown is your X factor here.
Jaylen Brown and Peyton Pritchard, just because I don't want to, you know, contradict my point from before. But I just think you're going to see a much more well-rounded Jaylen Brown, and he's going to fill in some of the missing numbers.
Don't forget last year, Jaylen Brown was playing unbelievably going into the postseason, and better than Tatum going into the playoffs. And then he had that freak hand injury watering his plants.
Yeah.
So keep that man away from his plants in the next 5 days, and have him healthy for the postseason, because that was a stupid way to start, and we wasted time in that Hawks series. It's going to be a tough one against the Heat, who you're likely going to play. Right now it's 13-12, Chicago-Atlanta in the 9-10 game. I doubt one of those two teams is going to go down to Miami and beat them on Friday night, but who knows? Could get matched up with either of those two. If you do, that's a blessing, and you should beat the hell out of that team.
Should be a sweep.
Whoever that is. Should be a sweep, 5-game series. If you get the Heat, 6 max, you go 7, that's a failure. You're wasting too much time in that first-round series. Dave, X Factor. Who's your X Factor?
Derek White's my X Factor, and he saved you last year to extend that series to 7 against the Heat. And I think he's, you know, it could be Porzingis against, you know, it could be Porzingis or Holiday, but I feel like they got tougher matchups. I feel like Derek White can exploit the Heat a little bit more.
I love it. That is a great choice. My 2019 Zdeno Chara is Al Horford. I don't mean to deploy him this early in the postseason, but you don't know what's going to happen in the first round. So I'm gonna say it right now. I think they've used him really well. I think he's healthy. And I just think he's going to be so important from a leadership standpoint. And whatever they can get out of him is going to be so massive in those minutes that he's taken from Kristaps. Paul, X Factor.
Oh, Porzingis. We didn't have him last year. You have to give Brad Stevens credit. Every time he turns around, he makes a good trade. So he improves the team each time. Porzingis is something that they don't have anyone to stop. Adebayo, all he does, I'll probably jinx it, but all he ever does is talk, and you look, he's got 12.7 rebounds, so he doesn't scare me. I take Porzingis. He's my guy.
I like it. Let's ramp things up here. Cove, one guy who hasn't gotten mentioned and choked against this, if we do play the Heat, choked against this team last year, is Drew Holiday. What are our thoughts on him going into the postseason?
Well, thank God he's healthy, and you love the fact that you extended him, clearly, so you're not looking at this as a, you know, championship or bust, and if it doesn't happen, then you blow it up. But again, I just go back to this chemistry factor here, and this has been, it's crazy because the Celtics have been so successful since Brad Stevens hit town 10 years ago this summer, or 11 years ago, excuse me. They've been so successful, but with so many different teams and changing over rosters and things like that. I mean, again, there is such a chemistry factor to playing in the playoffs in the NBA because it is a completely different game. I mean, that's such a, you know, it's so phony to say, oh, well, it's a completely different game in the playoffs, but it truly is. So, I mean, again, you know, these are also guys, when you look at a Drew Holiday, who's been, you know, a major player on a championship team, a shot maker, a guy like Porzingis, et cetera. You know, again, these guys are going to want to try to feel their way out. It was one thing to play in the regular season and pass the ball and, you know, play all nice. But again, then you're getting into the playoffs. So just be very interested to see that starting five in a half court set when people are playing real defense. And you see real defense sprinkled throughout the NBA season. You don't see it very much. And you don't see real coaching execution in the regular season in the NBA. And you are literally facing off against one of the very, very, very best.
Love it. Paul, any concluding thoughts?
No, I think you guys have marked all the checks. I guess my fear, John, would be in the coaching because that is a major difference, Spoelstra against Mazzulla. But maybe the players will cover for Mazzulla and it won't come down to coaching. I think the Celtics are going to win the series in five.
I like it. I have zero faith in Joe Mazzulla. Anything he does to prove me otherwise, I'll be very impressed. And I hope he proves me wrong. But right now, I think he is afraid of those stars and afraid to shake any feathers with just how good of a setup he has with, you know, he barely had to do anything. And Brad constructed him a 60-plus win roster. And he can just nerd out over three-pointers. He's going to need to make some tough decisions to sway a couple of these games that get you to the finals. And then when you get matched up with the Denver Nuggets, who have the best player in the world, you're going to need a coach to separate you from the talent disparity, which I think there's a small one where the Nuggets have the edge. Dave, concluding thoughts.
To touch on that, it's, we've seen a lot of pettiness from Mazzulla this year too, where he's been reading the media and he calls out the media. You know, this is the time now to show your true coaching skills and every, you know, we saw, who was it, the Oklahoma City coach the other day said that Mazzulla is the best coach in the NBA. Well, let's see it when the rubber hits the road and times get tough in these series, which they will, you know, how he's going to adjust.
Boston says that the Celtics coach is the best coach in the NBA. I love
it. Yeah, true.
But I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. And you know, this team it's the best team on paper in the NBA. They should go far and they shouldn't have any issues with the Heat, which is why I think they should win in five. And with Paul,
we just went through all the losses. They only two of them were legitimate. They should have been 80-2.
They didn't. Were any of those?
So this season, as of right now, Cove, abject failure. They have to prove me otherwise in the postseason. I don't think you can have a better wrap up than that. As we go into the Bruins Maple Leafs Saturday night, 8:00, and Celtics likely Miami Heat 1:00 Sunday. Gentlemen, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.